Today is October 27th, the 9th of Cheshvan, and we are starting in earnest Shmuel Bet Perek Kaf Bet, which is the famous poem that also appears in Sefer Tehillim, Perek Yud Chet, Book of Psalms, Chapter 18. Can you guys all see my screen? I'm sharing my screen. Okay, so today we're going to learn it in earnest. So last week I forgot to record, but I included the Malbim this week. Hi, Rona. We just started right this second. Oh, and Shoshi. Hi. We just started. Okay, so it's a very, very long Perek of Tehillim. It's not quite as long as the chapter I mentioned last week that has 8 lines for every letter of the alphabet, but it is quite long. So I broke it up, not exactly in half. It's a little more than half that hopefully we'll get through today. And this half has 3 different sections in it. I made a break for one of the section between 20 and 21. The other section, you won't see a break on your thing, but you can just be aware it's between Dalet and Hey, 4 and 5. As you see, the translation is right below. I think in the future, actually, I'm going to try to do it side by side. I think that'll be better for this format of Zoom. But if you have it open yourself and you don't need to screen share with me, then you can follow along with the English. Okay, so we're going to begin with the Malbim, which we did not do last week. So I happen to love the Malbim. The Malbim lived throughout the 19th century, so from the early 1800s to the late 1800s. I think it's 1808 to 1888. He lived almost exactly the same time as Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who was in Germany. The Malbim was in Prague. He was the chief rabbi there. He's a very interesting personality, and in this class, we spend a lot of time on him. Unfortunately, you can find selected versions of him in English, but not so many. What's amazing is that he's actually in the now classic edition of Mikraot Gedolot. If you buy a set of traditional prophets and writings, you'll find the Malbim's commentary, which I know this sounds crazy, but it is Judaism. He's like the most modern by a couple hundred years commentary in those books, being in the 1800s. And he was on his way to being a rising star in the rabbinic world. We're reading him now, so he clearly was a rising star. But in that day and age, it wasn't so guaranteed, because to be a rising star in that day and age, you had to write a lot of halachic Jewish legal works. And he saw what was going on in the 19th century, biblical criticism and the Enlightenment. So he saw that traditional Jews were leaving traditional Judaism in droves because of all these challenges, intellectual challenges being presented to them in the study of Bible, in learning secular studies, and the opening of the world for the first time. So he left his halachic studies. I mean, he didn't leave it. He continued, but he left his publishing in that area, and he set out to write this commentary on the entire Bible so that he could combat the damage that biblical criticism was doing. And he has really incredible, beautiful commentary. And this one especially, I can't believe... I feel like what we're going to learn today are some foundational concepts that I wish I had learned years ago instead of just this week. It's really, really amazing. I hope that you will all enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed preparing and learning these ideas. He's almost as if, like, you have the Tehillim, you have the Torah, the Tanakh, which is beautiful in and of itself. It's sort of like, you know, a beautiful thing. And then the Malbim is able to unpack even more beautiful gems that make the whole thing even more beautiful. I don't know how to explain it any other way. It's just really incredible. So that is the Malbim. And in this class in general, we focus a lot on the Malbim and his commentary. So that's what we're going to do. And it's I was very surprised because he writes a lot. And I looked up his commentary for our chapter of Shmuel. And it was literally all of one paragraph. This paragraph that you see is his entire commentary on this chapter of Shmuel. So those of you who have been with me would be surprised as well. And that's because he summarizes what we said last week in terms of the whole introduction to this chapter and why it's the same or almost the same as the chapter in Tehillim, and why this poem is the only one of all of the poems in Tehillim, Psalms, that appears in the book of Shmuel Bet. and what's so unique about it. So he's going to summarize some of what we talked about last week. And but his main commentary really can be found in chapter 18 of Psalms, which is its parallel that we've been speaking about. And I'm going to read from there after we read this paragraph. Okay, any questions so far? Okay. So, Vayedaber David, so this is the opening of the parak that we did last week. Hamizmor hazeh kulo sider na'im zmirot Yisrael v'sefer tehilotav. So this chapter, this song, sorry, it's all organized by the Ne'im Zmirot, which is the pleasant of poetry. It's the title for King David of Israel in his book of Psalms, chapter 18. Ubeperushenu l'sefer tehilotav be'arnu devarav kiyad Hashem hatova aleinu. So in our commentary, in the book of Tehillim, we explained his words with the hand of God to our best ability. Ach, lama hutsa gam kan. But why is it presented also here? V'lamu bao po shnuyim rabim v'chalufim v'tevot botiyot. And why does it have many different changes from the chapter in Tehillim? Tzrichim anu lishmoa l'divrei mahari. We need to listen to the words of the Abarbanel. So that, this is the Abarbanel, okay, that we talked about last week. Chaver shira hazot bivchuroto bioto betoch tzarotav. Who says that he wrote this poem in his youth when he had many troubles. So we saw last week the debate whether he wrote it in his youth or whether he wrote it as an old man at the end of his life. And the Abarbanel was one that argued it was in his youth. And this poem includes all of the difficulties that David encountered. So that every time Hashem would save him from his troubles, Hayam Mishorer Hashira Hazot. He would sing this song. And that's what it means on the day that God saved him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Shaul. How could one day he be saved from all his enemies and also from Shaul? Because it's inclusive of all the times he was saved. Every time he was saved, he sang these words. Mizmirot David v'tashbichotav, and in this book, Samuel, it's not written all of the poems of David's and his praises. Rak hashira hazot, only this poem, shehi kolelet v'shesharotah tamid, because it's inclusive, and he would sing it always. And with David, and for those of you who know Hebrew, do you remember? Anybody remember this Rosh Tevot? It stands for V'David Hamelech Alav Hashalom. So King David, may his memory be blessed. In his old age, he collected all of his psalms, the Sefer Miyochad, in a special book, for those who want to meditate, like think about things. So that is the difference between here, we're seeing it as it was in the moment. Every time he would be saved, he would read it. And the addition in Tehillim, Chaim, you made it. We just started a little while ago, but I am recording. So in Tehillim, he made more general for anybody who wanted to daven, not just his own personal. It wasn't as personal. Sheishboch sicha lifnei kel al kol hapratim sheitzrach ish ish bimei chaldo. That a person would be able to pour out his prayers before God and all of the details that he need, each person in the days of his own world. Yimtza mizmor o tfila yitpalel ba, he should find whatever prayer in the whole 150 chapters of Tehillim that fits his situation. V'yesh ba sgulot nifla'ot ki chavra b'ruach ha'kodesh. Because there are many... There are many special signs.
Someone's not muted.
Yeah, I think they just muted. That person just muted. I
okay,
see.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so he wrote these words, these each chapter with Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, and that's what's written there. V'gam hamizmor hazeh. Also, this poem. Katav sham shenit sheitpalel adam asher svivot shezvavuhu mitzukot rabot v'nitzol mehem k'David. So this one is also there in Tehillim. If you are in any of these situations like David was, they are there for you to read them, okay? And so I think that really captures a lot of what we talked about. And then he talks about how the Abarbanel, which we are not going to do, goes through each change from our parak to Tehillim. I think he says there are 70-something of them and explains exactly why he did it. We are not going to do that. And the Malbim also says, because you did all the work in Tehillim, he's not going to go through it here and double his words. So now, if you see, the following commentary is all from Tehillim. Okay? So let's just read. Let's look at the first four psukim. And again, I'm going to change my format because if you don't print it out because I'm showing it to you, then it's going back and forth. Okay, so we did the first pasuk last time. Yidaber David LaShem et divrei hashira hazot. So David spoke to Hashem the words of this song. If you remember in Tehillim, it starts out with Lamenatzeach for the conductor, whatever that means. And in Tehillim, David's called Eved Hashem, the servant of Hashem. On the day that Hashem saved him from all of his enemies and from the hand of Shaul. Vayomer Hashem, Sil'i umetzudati umepalti li. So he says, Vayomer, sorry, I mispunctuated that. Vayomer, and he said, God is my rock and my fortress and my a haven to me. Okay, so the Malvim, if you've never learned the Malvim before, he likes to take these aspects of poetry, of finding, of all these words that seem to be repeated, and actually give a different nuance to each of these words so that it deepens our understanding of it even more. So we'll see that. Elohei Tzuri. Now this is interesting. I just want to point out these two words. So the punctuation is Elohei Tzuri. And if you look at the translation, this was bothering me. So the translation says, God is my rock, okay? If it were, God is my rock, it would not be punctuated with the two dots under the hey. It would be punctuated with a line, Elokai, my God is my rock. But instead it's Elokei Tzuri, which means the God of my rock, which is interesting. I just had to point that out. Okay, Achsebo, I will shelter in him. So under whom I take cover. Migini, Magain, like Magain David, the Star of David, is my shield. Vikaren Yishi, and Karen is a horn. So the horn of my salvation. Miskabi Umenosi, my fortress and my rescuer. Mish'i mechamas toshi'ani. My support, my refuge, he is my savior who saves me from violence. Chamas is violence. We saw that last week with the Noach story. Mehulal ekra Hashem umu'ayvai ivashea. So my praises, I call out to God, and from my enemies, I will be saved. So let's look at the Malvim's commentary on that. Okay. So we're going to the Malvim in Tehillim now, but it's broken up basically the same way in terms of the verses. Lamenatzeach b'mizmor hazeh shenatan bo hoda'a sheitzil Hashem oto miyad kol avav b'melchamot harabot asher hayalo. Okay, so in this chapter of Tehillim, so remember this is from Tehillim, where he gives thanks that Hashem saved him from the hand of all his enemies and from the many wars that he was in and from the hand of Shaul, specifically that he had many dangerous times, even more so than everything else with him. Siper, we're here now. Siper shnei minei inyanim v'hanhagat Hashem imo. So he's going to tell us about two different ways that Hashem behaves with him. I don't like that word behaves, but for lack of a better word. Be'et ha-shalva, shelo higia alav shum tzara upachad oyav. So the first one is, when all is tranquil, the time of tranquility, where he has no troubles and no fear from the enemies, where everything's going well. And I think this is one of the most important things we can learn from David, and we'll really see it highlighted here, that David doesn't take anything for granted. Especially when everything is going well, he finds time to thank Hashem and acknowledge that it's only going well because God wills it to go well. Ve'az hu mevarech al hatova, and then he blesses on the good. Al shehashem shamro bal yavo elav ra'a klal, that Hashem has guarded him so that no evil will come to him at all. So that's the first one, and that's what we're going to see through pasuk dalet that we just read. Bet, the second way, et shabao lav ra'ot rabot v'tzarot. Sorry, the time when he does have many horrible, terrible, stressful, evil things that happen to him. Ubeze misaper shnei minei hashkacha v'shua. And when he's going through tough times, he talks about two different ways that Hashem watches over him and saves him. The first way, Aleph, Hashkacha be'emtza'ut ha'teva. This is Hashem's watching over him through nature, through natural means. V'zeh kishe'ino zecheh mitzad ma'asav. And this is when maybe he hasn't been behaving so well. He doesn't really deserve it. Rak she'Hashem yoshi'ehu ayidei tfilato. Just that Hashem is saving him by way of his prayer. She'az yoshi'ehu ayidei emtza'im tzivi'im. And that's when Hashem saves him through natural means, natural intermediaries. Bet hashkacha v'yeshua al pi nisim glu'im. L'mala miderech ha'teva. The second is, sometimes Hashem will actually come in and save him through miracles, revealed miracles that are above the way of nature. K'shezoche l'zeh al pi ma'asav. When he merits that by way of his actions. Ve'az eno tzarich l'tfila klal. And then he doesn't even need to daven. He doesn't need to call out to Hashem. Ki Hashem ito, because Hashem is with him, latet lo nes, to give him a miracle, or nes can also mean a flag, a sign, lehit no ses, that then is public and everyone can see it. That's what like lehit no ses means, to hold up a flag. Okay, so those are the two different ways. When everything's going well, we need to thank Hashem. When things are not going well, we either need to call out to Hashem and pray to him if we might not merit on our own a salvation. And sometimes we don't even need to call out and pray because we might merit the salvation in and of itself. Okay. So, Gimel Hashem Sil'i, Elokei Sil'i, the God of my rock. Misaper tchila et hashava she'in shum tzara maga'at alav klal. So he's going to tell first about the time of tranquility when no troubles touch him at all. V'yesh b'zeh shnei inyanim. And this has two aspects. One, hashmira v'ha'hagana min ha'oyev l'bal yikrav alav, the guarding and the protection from the enemy that he can't even get close to him. And two, madriga yoter gedola hu she'od yinatzeachu et ha'oyev v'yimshol alav. Not only do the enemies not come close to him, but even higher than that, that he will continue to defeat his enemies and rule over them. Neged ha'hagana omer ha'elokei tzil'i ha'mitzudati ha'mapi. So by way of this protection, he says, God, the God of my rock and my fortress and my the place where I escaped to, ki ha'hagana tia begimal inyanim. So why does he say those three things? This is what I mentioned before, how he takes these three things that we might just take as synonyms, but really they each represent a different aspect. They have different nuances. So, hamifaleit min ha'oyev sha'alze amar mipalti. So the one who escapes from his enemy, that's where he says mipalti, which is my refuge. Hamivatser v'hamitzuda shelasham yanus v'yimtza miflat sha'alze amar mitzudati. So this is the fortress that to there he will escape and be saved. This is why he says, my fortress. Hamakom sha'alav ta'amod ha'metsuda al shein sele gevoa. So the place where the fortress would be standing, which would be on some high cliff. Sha'alze omer Hashem sil'i, and Elokei sil'i. That's where he says, the God of my rock, my fortress. My rock, sorry. V'ratzon namarata hu hasela v'gam ha'metsuda ha'benuya alav v'gam ha'mifaleit oti el ha'metsuda. So God encompasses all three of those things. He is my rock and also the fortress that's built on that rock, that cliff, and also the one who saves me inside that fortress. God is all of those things. V'neged ha'madriga ha'shnia, and against that second level that he defeats his enemy and rules over them, she'alze omer, Eli Tzuriv Achsebo, this is my God and I take shelter in him. Shesam Eli Tzuri Bikinui Al Ha'adam Moreh Al Hashkacha Miyuchedet Yoter V'Al Hadveikut. So here, he's expressing this in such a way to show that he clings to God. Sheyesh lo imo mitzad ze halo tosif la amod imadi she'od enaseach ani et ha'oyev. So he continues to stand with me so that I will defeat my enemies. V'gam leze tzarich gimel dvarim. And also for this we need three things. Aleph, hamagen, hanosei lefanav be'et krav. God is the magen, the shield that you carry with you when you go into battle. And that's why he says my shield. Bet hakeren. So he said that this is a horn. It can be a horn or a ray. They're the same words, which is actually why Michelangelo's Moses has two horns coming out of it, because the verse in the Bible is that he came down and his skin was karan, or it was glowing light. But that word karan can also mean horn. But I actually also heard that the way the statue was meant to be placed on the pedestal in such a way that it would be standing above you, and the sun would actually reflect off of those two little horns that you wouldn't be able to see, which would then cause it to actually emanate forth light in the way described in the Torah. Okay, so in any case, the word Karen means both horn and ray of light. And here he says, this is kind of violent, the horn, shebo yinageach et oivav, the horn for which you will horn your enemy, you'll stick it into them. And that's why he's called the horn of my salvation. Okay, so he's both the shield that protects and the horn that allows him to kill the enemy. And third, hachozek v'hagvura be'et krav, sheze omer miskavi. He is also the strength at the time of the battle, and that is defined by the word miskavi, which is the support, the refuge. Okay, all of these, they're similar, but he's defining each of them differently. Okay, and then mehulal, the praises. Ratzon lomar, that is to say, be'et kazot she'eni b'tzara klal. At this time when I have no troubles, I'm in full control of my enemies, I don't have anything bad happening, as ekrat Hashem, I call out to Hashem, then ve'chanehu b'shem mehulal, and I call him with praise, like praiseworthy. Shehu mehulal tamid, because he's always, we should always be praising God. Ki v'tzad hazeh lo yitpalalu, because from this aspect, I didn't daven, v'lo yichanenu al tzara, and I didn't ask him for anything on anything bad. Rak yihaleluhu tamid al tovotav. Rather, I just praised him always on his goodness. V'yidei hahilu levad min oivai ivashea. And by way of this praise only, I will be saved from my enemy. V'lo etzterech l'tzvila klal. And I don't even need to pray. So he's differentiating here between praising God because everything's good versus actually davening and asking for something. So in these moments of his life, and we should all experience these moments at certain times where we have nothing to ask for, where everything is going well, but we still have to maintain that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we can do so through praising God and recognizing that all of this goodness comes from the source of God. Okay, so now he goes through when bad things happen, okay? So let's just look at it in the English to save time. So and we'll see it in the Hebrew in the commentary. So we ended with praise, I call to the Lord, for from my enemies I shall be saved. And then you see it gets very dark. For the pains of death have encompassed me. Streams of scoundrels would affright me. Bands of those that shall inherit the netherworld have surrounded me. That's Sheol in the Hebrew, the netherworld. The snares of death confronted me. When I'm in distress, I call upon the Lord. Okay? Very different motivation for connection with God. Yes, I call upon my God, and out of his abode he hears my voice, and my cry enters his ears. And then, okay, so that's the feeling of where he's at when he actually does have to cry out and pray to God. And then he describes what happens as a result of crying out to God. Okay, and we're going to read this and then we'll go into the commentary and hopefully it all makes sense. Then the earth shook and quaked, the very foundation of heaven did tremble, and they were shaken when he was angered. Smoke went up in his nostrils and fire out of his mouth did devour. Coals flamed forth from him. And he bent the heavens, and he came down, and thick darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind, and he fixed darkness about him as booths, gathering of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him flamed forth coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High gave forth his voice. He sent out arrows, and he scattered them, lightning, and he discomfited them. And the depths of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were laid bare by the rebuke of the Lord and the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high, and he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Okay, and the drew me out of many waters is the same language as Moshe Rabbeinu being drawn out of the waters. He delivered me from my mighty enemy, from them that hated me, for they were too powerful for me. Okay, so David on his own would not have been able to defeat this enemy, whatever it was, and God had to deliver him. They confronted me on the day of my calamity, but the Lord was a support to me, and he brought me forth into a wide place. He delivered me because he took delight in me. Okay, so you see that he's describing these really horrible, scary times where he didn't know if he was going to make it out alive, save for God's interference and bringing him out to life. And he describes one after the other of calamities impacting the earth. Okay, so let's see what
the reminiscent of the 23rd Psalm.
The what?
It's reminiscent of the 23rd Psalm.
Oh, yeah. Mizmor LeDavid. The shorter version. That would be the shorter version of this, right? So the famous 23rd Psalm, right? He lays me down in green pastures, right? Is that that's what you're referring to?
Right. But it goes on. I mean, the other whatever we just read is
yeah, from the gates of death. Yeah, because the gates all have it in that psalm. Very good. Okay, so afafuni means is the pains of death. Ata yatchil lesaper hahanaga shnia be'et sheyavo alav ra'ot v'tzarot she'az yitzterech letzvila. Okay, so now Malbim's saying this introduces the next section where bad things actually are happening and he needs prayer. Be'et she'afafuni chavle mavet, at the time when the pains of death have encompassed me. V'imze gam nachle b'li'ael yevatuni, these are all direct quotations from the parak that we just read in English. Streams of scoundrels would affright me. We've talked about b'li'ael a few times when Chana, Shmuel's mother, is davening and Eli thinks that she's drunk and she says, don't think I'm part of this Bli'ael, this idolatrous type of person. That's no good. Okay, so David also is saying something similar. Mavet mitzad echad, you have death on one side, v'oivim mitzad sheni, and you have the enemies on the other side. Okay, verse 6, chavle, sorry, went too far. Okay, so chavalim are ropes or bands. Mosif she'oter mizeh she'svavuni chavle sha'ul, even more than the fact that surrounding me are these bands of what we said was the netherworlds. Ki ilu ani omed lihikaber b'sha'ul achar shekvar kadmuni mokshe mavet. It's as if I'm going to be buried in the netherworld after I've already been in this, the snares of death have preceded me. Ki ilu hu achar hamavet, as if it's after the death. The omed lihikaber, and he's standing to be buried. V'koza mashal shenidme ki ilu meit v'nikmar ubatal min ha'olam. This is all a parable, because it's even worse than death would be just being completely buried and canceled out from the world. Okay, so it's very bad times. Zayin v'tsarli ekra Hashem, in my pain I call out to Hashem. She'az tzarichani l'tfila. This is when he calls out to God because prayer is necessary at this moment. Ve'ekra'ehu mitoch hatzara, and I call out to him from this pain. Ve'el elokei osh Yeshua, and I will be saved from my God, Yeshua, to salvation. Ve'az yishma mehechalo koli, and he will hear from his palace, his abode, my voice. Al yedei tzvila v'yemaher lehoshia, by way of the prayer, and he will then rush to save me. V'hine pasuk ze hu pasuk charuzi she'chapel b'kol ma'amar. So now he's explaining the poetry. Charuz is a poem or a rhyme. So this pasuk, he's telling us the structure. It's doubled. It's like a couplet in every single part of it. Hamelitz mitzayer po yeshuat Hashem. So he's describing the salvation of God. And each one is a salvation by way of a natural event, a natural intermediary. B'derech hatava, by way of nature. Uba hatziur shebe'et shekorel Hashem mitoch tzarato. So he, at the time that he calls out to God in his distress, Yachin Hashem echat min hasibot hatzviot she'al yadei yivashea min hatzara hazot. So Hashem then prepares one of these many things, natural occurrences, that by way of it, he will be saved from his enemy. Aval hasiba hazot atzma shehuchana l'tshuato. But this very thing that Hashem had prepared to save him, to saviv lo tzara acheret, will then create another bad thing that will happen to it, al pi hatava v'tzoek shainit, by way of nature, and then he'll have to call out again. So I'm just going to show you that in the poem from what we read. We don't have to read the whole Malvim because he explains this. So he says, so he hears, and then there's an earthquake. And then because there's an earthquake, verse 9, that causes a volcano, okay? And then there's fire. And then the heavens come down, so it's raining, but there's thick darkness. And, right, so it's raining, but it's raining a storm. And the storm then caused thunder and lightning, which creates another problem. And then after that, he has more rain to take out the thunder and lightning. And then finally, Hashem draws David out of this natural craziness of earthquakes and volcanoes and fires and thunder and lightning and stormy waters. So then Hashem draws him out. So that's the problem with this. I mean, it's not a problem because Hashem saves him. And what's so beautiful about the way the Malvim describes this is that David never for a second doubts through all of these natural occurrences that Hashem has abandoned him. At every stage, he sees the earthquake as a way to save him. He sees the volcano as a way to save him. He sees the fire as a way to save him. He sees the storm. Each one, David is giving thanks to Hashem for saving him. He doesn't say, why so many horrible things? Not once. And really, if you've read Shmuel Betz, and you see one after the other, these horrible things happen to David, but he never says, why me? He never thinks Hashem has abandoned him. He stays as close to Hashem as ever, even during the times, the short times during David HaMelech's life when nothing bad was happening. He's as connected as when calamity one after the other is happening to him, which is the beauty of David HaMelech and why he's so inspiring to us all this time. And if we could only have that perspective with, and please God, none of our lives will be as filled with all the terrible events that David HaMelech's life had in it. And through our lives, may we always be able to see Hashem in our life at every step of the way, both the good and the bad, and to be able to see the bad as leading to the next good. Okay, so that is that whole section of the poem. And for the sake of time, because I really want to show you this next section that we'll end with. So this is starting with 21. In this, again, this is, I think it's something like 50 verses. So we're going to finish it next week. We're going quickly through it, but it's a very long poem, so we're not ending it. Okay. And I think I want to read this. Well, I'll read it in English, and then you'll see the Hebrew and the Malbim like we did before, but just so everyone has an idea. You can feel free to email me or comment if you feel one way is better than the other. Okay, so starting verse 21. The Lord rewarding me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. Okay, so again, this sounds like just poetic repetition, but the Malbim is going to explain what it means to reward, which is gemul, like gemilut chasadim, okay? And righteousness, it's tzidki. And cleanness is an interesting word that I hadn't seen like this before. It's bor, which usually means like an ignoramus in most other places, but here it comes from barur, like completely sorted out, clean. Okay, and recompense means hashav lehashiv, to return. Okay, so we've got gemul, rewarded, tzidki, tzedek, righteousness, bor, some other kind of cleanliness, and recompense, shava. And you can see, just for the sake of pointing it out, maybe I'll point it out in the Hebrew. So, yigmaleni Hashem kitzidkati, Hashem will reward me for my righteousness. Kivor yadi yashivli, like the cleanliness of my hands, he'll repay me. So, this is a chiastic structure, okay? So, you have the verb, here's one verb, and here's the other verb at opposite ends. Sorry, I won't highlight. And then you have the noun of how he's describing himself, both on the inside, okay? So, just little side note. For I've kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from them, the commit of my God. Okay, and again, this sounds like he's saying the same thing, but we're going to see to keep the ways versus not departing are actually describing two different things. For all his ordinances were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from it. And I was single-hearted toward him. I kept myself from iniquity, and the Lord has recompensed me. This is that same word, recompensed, gemul, according to my righteousness, again, tzidki, according to my cleanness, that word bor, before his eyes. With a kind one, you show yourself kind. With an upright, mighty man, you show yourself upright. With a pure one, you show yourself pure, but with a perverse one, you deal crookedly. So that sounds like, if you do good, you'll get good. But then he says, and the humble people you do deliver. So he also does the opposite. He can raise up those who are down, but your eyes are upon the haughty in order to humble them. And the haughty, if they're not acting in the ways they should, can be brought down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord does light my darkness. And I just want to show you the Hebrew for those words. So, Neri, you're my candle, my lamp, right here. And Hashem Yagia Choshchi. So this was, I had never really paid attention to this word. You might know hagahot or haga, if you know that word in Hebrew. It comes from noga, which is a kind of light, to light up. So in halachic literature, if somebody is writing, in English it's called a gloss. So if somebody is writing their own commentary on top of a halachic work that's already written to add to it or to comment on it, and it's called a gloss, it's called a haga in Hebrew, which means they're illuminating it, which I'd never thought of before. Okay, so let's go to the commentary of the Malbim. Any questions? Okay, so yigmaleni. So this is from Gemul, Gemilut Chasadim. It's a very interesting shoresh, this Gimel Mem Lamed. In a couple weeks, we're going to read Parshat Chayesara, where Eliezer goes to find the wife for Yitzchak, and it's Rivka, and she's the paragon of Chesed, and the chapter is also filled with gemalim, camels. So it's the same word, gemilut, like this recompensing. And gemilut also, we're going to see, can either be to recompense for good or for bad. It's a neutral word. We usually associate it with Chesed. Ligmol also means to wean. So to wean a child from nursing, but also in modern day Hebrew, you wean from diapers, and if you go to detox, you also are ligmol. You're also weaning from drugs. So it's a really interesting word. I don't know how all those things are related, especially the camel part. But just wanted to talk about it for a second. So you recompense me. So after he explained the first way, that Hashem saves him by way of prayer and by way of crying out, and through these natural ways, where we saw it can lead from one bad thing to the next, even though he's constantly being saved in each of those things, so that he needs to call out and pray each time. מתחיל לדבר על האופן השני שיושיעו השם בדרך נס ופלא. So now he's going to talk about the second way, and that's when Hashem saves him by way of a miracle or a wonder, be'et yizkeh lezeh, at the time that he merits this, al pi ma'asav hatovim, by way of his good deeds. She'az lo takum pa'amim tzara v'tia tshua muflet u'gedla me'od. Because then there won't be any bad stuff, and the salvation will be wondrous and great. Ve'al zeh omer, and this is what he says, be'et shigmaleni Hashem ketzidki, at the time that Hashem recompenses me for my righteousness. As ha'kel, and this is from the second part of the poem that we're going to get to next week, when it talks about how Hashem is with him in battles, and he girds his loin, and he makes his legs like ibexes. He gives him all the strength that he needs to defeat, which we're going to see next week. So this is the full verse. Hashem recompenses me according to my righteousness, and according to the cleanliness of my hand, he returns to me. So now he's going to explain the difference in meaning between these two concepts of recompense and returning. So returning something is according to the action, meaning you make an exchange, okay? An equal exchange. V'hapu'la, ha'ma'aseh v'hapu'la, according to the act and the action. V'hagmul, and this recompense, hu kfi tchunat ha'ava o ha'sin'ah she'yesh lo alav. So gmul is not an equal exchange. You do this, so I do this. Gmul is, you did this, and I either love you so much, so I'm going to respond this way, or I hate you so much, so I'm going to respond this way. Okay? So you see there's emotion involved in the gmul that there isn't in the hashava. She'agmul nikshar tamid im hit pa'aluyot. So gmul is always connected to emotion. V'yesh havdel bin tzidki uben bor yadi. So now he explained the differences between the two verbs. And now he's going to explain the difference between the two nouns, righteousness and clean hands. Shetzidki hu bekum ve'ase. So my righteousness is that which I've gone up and done. I've done righteous acts. Ubor yadi, but the cleanliness of my hands, hu ma sheyashav ve'lo avar avera. That's, how did he keep his hands clean? By not doing something bad. Okay? So tzedek is what you've actually actively done good, and bor yadi is what you haven't done bad. Okay? Hashava hu ma she'asa b'ma'ase. So this hashava, this returning, is what he's done with action. V'hagamul v'ha'ava hu al ha'shev v'al ta'ase. So the recompense and the love is that which he has sat and not done. That's what that Rosh Tevot is. Shev v'al ta'ase. Ulam amar rabuta, but he says more. Shelo lavad she'ashiv li ketzidki. It's not just that he's returning to me according to my righteousness. Ki gam yigmaleni ketzidki. Oh, sorry, I skipped a line. So he's going to say it would have actually made more sense to associate the verbs differently than how they are. Let me just show you. I'll explain it outside. Sorry, I skipped that important line. Okay, so in the English, it would have been made more sense to reward according to the cleanliness of his hands. Reward for not doing a sin, and to be recompensed, that emotional, because I love you so much, for what he actually did do. Okay, so that would have made more sense. But instead, we have this kind of awkward language of being rewarded for righteousness, and Gemul, the enthusiastic one, for what he didn't do. Okay? So that's strange. So that's what he's saying, and I'm sorry I skipped that line. Okay.
By the way, I'm still looking at the Robert Alter commentary. So whenever he says cleanliness of hands, Alter says that is essentially the same. It indicates, excuse me, indicates innocence.
Oh, nice. Okay. And then I think it, I'm not sure if it even comes from the same word, but in terms of bora being like an ignoramus, somebody who doesn't know anything, somebody who's innocent is also doesn't know something to a certain extent.
Not
So
right.
maybe they're related. Okay. So why did he have that verb with that noun and that verb with that noun? So there's difference between these two words. Sorry. Okay, here we are. Gamkin gamur. Okay, so because ulama shelo lavad sheashiv li kitzitki ki gam yigmaleni kitzitki. Because it's not just that what you would assume that he returns to me according to my righteousness, but also that he should enthusiastically return according to my righteousness. Shemilvad hatashlumim kafi ha'pe'ula, that not just payment according to the action will it be, but also a recompense according to the love. V'chein lo levad shikmaleni al bor yadi, and not just that he'll recompense me enthusiastically with love on the cleanliness of my hands, ki gam yashiv li, but he'll also return to me, he'll give me that equal compensation. Ki yachashev li et ma shenimneti milasot ra, because he'll consider me that which I didn't do, which I didn't let myself do, I withheld myself from doing, ki'ilu asiti tov befal, as if I had actively done something good. V'yashiv li al zeh schar, and he'll give me a reward for what I didn't do. U'mifaresh ha'davar b'ma'amarim makbilim, and it's explained in this parallelistic structure, which is actually a chiastic structure, yigmaleni Hashem kitzidki, that Hashem will recompense me according to my righteousness. Okay, ki shamarti darkei Hashem, I guarded the ways of God. Shehatzedek asher asiti, lo asitiv mipnei shehasechel vehanimus mechayvo. So the righteousness which I did, I didn't do it because of the intellect or because of the manners that people do, because it's expected. That's not what obligated to me to behave in this righteous way. Ad she'eino tzarich she'yashiv li, because if that were the case, if I were just doing it because that's what was expected and those are the societal norms and that's what my intellect tells me to do, then there wouldn't have been any compensation for that, except for the action itself. Kishmartiv mipnei shehem darkei Hashem. But no, I guarded them. I did it not just because it's the normal way to do things, but because it's the way of Hashem, lalechet bidrachav, to walk in his ways, v'lehidamut alav, and to be similar to him. Ve'al zeh ani ra'ui ligmol, and on this I am worthy of being compensated, shigmol alai kfi ha'ahava, that he'll compensate me with the love, the enthusiasm, v'hadvekut, and the clingingness, she'alachti bedrachav v'davakti bo, that I walked in his ways and I clung to him. U'kibor yadi yashiv li, and the cleanliness of my hands he repaid me. Ki lo rashati meloki, because I didn't do any wickedness with my God. Shema shelo rashati, that which I didn't do any wickedness. Lo haya mipnei shehasechel mechayavo. It wasn't because my mind obligated me not to. O she tiv'i, or my nature, eino notel leharshia, just because I'm not naturally, I don't have any desire to go out and murder somebody. My nature isn't telling me to be wicked. Rak hasiva haya meloki. It's only because it's divinely ordained. Mipnei azharat Hashem upikodav, because of the warning of Hashem and his instruction. Hagam sheyitzri haya mesiteni laharshia, even if my inclination had seduced me to be evil. Ubezer re'ui sheyeshalem lischar. And that's why I'm worthy of a reward for not doing something, because I overcame all of those things because of my love and clinging to you, God. Ki bebad davar avera liado, when a sin came into my hand, vikavash tavato, and he conquered his desires, notnim lo schar ke'ose mitzvah. He is given a reward as if he actually did a mitzvah. Not that just he kept himself from not doing a sin, but the rabbis tell us that he's seen as if he actually did a mitzvah. Okay. Ki kol mishpatav lenegdi, because all of his ordinances are before me. V'chukotav lo asir mani. And his chukim, I'm going to translate that in a second, are not removed, are not lifted from me. Okay? So the classic translation of Mishpat and Chok is that Mishpatim are those laws that every society has on the books, even if they've never heard of the Torah before in their life. Don't murder, don't steal, all of those types of things. That's Mishpatim. That's a Mishpat. Chok are those laws that have no reason. They make no sense. Keeping kosher. The famous one is the red heifer that removes impurity. Not wearing wool and linen, all of those things you can think of that are unique to us Jews and no human lawgiver would ever put into a code of law for any good reason. And those are the chukim. Okay, so he talks about both of them. And the Malbim is going to explain again the verbs, use the description of each of these verbs and how they relate to him personally. Okay, so mishpat hu davar shehasechal mechaivo. So mishpat are those laws that your intellect obligate you to do. And the chok are those things that the intellect doesn't understand its reasoning. And there's a difference between in front of me, ubein lo asir mimeni, and that which isn't removed from me. I just want to... Okay, so sheha omed negdo, something that's standing in front of him, hu etzem chutzalo, it's outside of him. It's not connected. It's something you're looking at. Aval lo asir mani, but that which will not be removed from me, mure shehu davukbo, means that something is actually clinging to him that would then need to be removed. The something in front of him doesn't need to be removed, it just needs to go away. The something that would be removed is something that's clinging to him. Ve'eno masiro me'elav, and it's not removed from him. Ritzon lamar, so what's the explanation? She'amishpatim hagam she'asecha mechaivam. So these mishpatim, even though they're logically, our intellect would obligate us on them from a logical level, udvokim im ha'adam b'teva, and they are actually clinging to us in our nature. We have a nature not to steal and not to kill. Eini osa otam b'avor she'ham nimtza'im b'sechli. I don't do those laws that make sense because they're found in my intellect. Rak mitzad Hashem tziva otam, only because Hashem commanded me to do them. So that's the description of the mishpat that's in front of me. He views the mishpatim, even though they're ingrained in our nature, he views them as something outside of himself simply because Hashem commanded them. As if they're standing outside of me and that they're not found within me, the sikhli in my intellect, rak ani mekabla me'Hashem, only I receive them from God. Kedvarim shehem rechokim me'asachel, as if they're things that are far from the intellect. Ubekolze ani magbil darki le'umatam, and despite all this, I limit my ways according to them. Ve'achukim hem be'enai ki ilu hem nintzaim v'sikhli, and I view these ordinances that make no sense, as if they're found in my intellect, ubenafshi, in my soul, ukilu hem mitzvot sichliot, and as if they're intellectual commandments, ve'einam omdim lenegdi, and they're not standing outside of me, merachok, far away, rak hem nimtzaim imi, they're found in me, k'mo shekatav natiti libi lasot chukecha, and this is a pasuk, I have leaned my heart to do your chok, okay, so it's in my heart to do these undefinable laws. She'ayudei ha'amanato b'Hashem, by way of his faith in God, libo notel lehem, his heart leans towards them, even though they make sense. They don't make sense. Ki'ilu ha'mitzvot ha'seka, as if they do make sense. Mechayvim ad shelo asira mimenu, I obligate myself to them until they can't be removed from me. V'hem mushrashim b'libi u'benafshi, and they are entrenched in my heart and in my soul. And this should be ve'ehaya. Okay, and I will be Omer im osif ometz vihigati lemadrega yoter gedola ad she'eya tamimomo. If I can gird my loins and I can get to this level where I am completely pure with God, vigader madregat tamim, and this is like the purest level, hu she'in bekochot gufo v'sichlo hitnagdut klal. This is where he wouldn't have any strength in his body or his intellect to be against any of the commandments of God. He has transformed his nature of his body and his intellect into a holy nature. V'hatara ad she'eno choker klal, and he's completely pure, so that God, who knows everything, would know that he has nothing bad in him. Ad she'ashtamra me'avoni, until I am completely guarding myself from sin. She'ya nishmar mi'avon me'mela, that I won't even be tempted to do a sin. Ve'ya nishmar min ha'avon atzmo, and I'm guarded from the sin itself. Because the desires of his body and his character attributes, they themselves are guarding him, that he won't even desire to do any kind of sin. And then we repeat the line similar to what we had before. I'm sorry, I'm going to go over. I never do this. So Hashem will pay me with my righteousness and the cleanliness of my hands, asher hu l'neged einav, which are before his eyes, az yagmul lo b'avor ha-pe'ulot atzmam, kamo shehem pe'ulot. So then this recompensing will not be because of the actions that their actions, rak kifi ma shehem omdim neged einei Hashem ha-tzofe. It's rather Hashem is repaying him because Hashem knows what's in the depth of his heart, and so he's paying him with this enthusiasm because he knows what's in his roots and that he would never do wrong. Im chasid. So now, actually, maybe I'll stop there because then this will flow into the next part. So I'll stop with kaf zayin. So you see David HaMelech's desire to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to always do the right thing, and to not do the wrong thing, but in the way he wants to approach doing the right thing and not doing the right thing, through just a love and connection to Hashem, independent of any intellectual reasoning, to be that connected, and to be connected through the good times and the bad times, through natural miracles and through natural salvations and through miracles, is just really inspiring. And may we all be able to see all the events in our own lives through similar eyes that David HaMelech sees in his life, which was a very difficult, torturous life, and yet he sees it all as coming from God and all to his benefit and through God's love for him. So may we all be able to see our lives in that way. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Any questions? I rarely go an hour, and I've gone an hour now 2 weeks in a row. Maybe it's the online format. So next week it'll be less psukim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That reminded me of, it's not exactly a parallel, but of, and I forget the source, but when you talk about tshuva, of how sometimes your bad deeds can turn into good deeds. There was a part there around Kafbet was reminiscent of that a little bit to me.
Yeah, so what Ruth is explaining is there are two ways of doing tshuva. One way is out of fear, where we erase our deeds and we turn them into nothing. And the second way is out of love, and that is you actually transform the sin into a merit, a mitzvah. So David's almost doing that to Hashem. He's saying, all these bad things you've given to me, Hashem, I see them really as salvation and that you're protecting me. So he's turning what might look like bad things in his life from Hashem, he's viewing it through his love of God as positive aspects. And we hope that God then will see all of our actions in a positive light as well.
One other comment that I found interesting in Alter is that he references somebody named Albright, who talks about the Northwest Semitic gods that were deified mountains. And so he attributed some of the imagery of God as a lofty rock or crag in the same poetic traditions that
they would actually view as gods in and of themselves.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
From that. In a tradition.
So that makes what I pointed out before in the wrong translation that I gave to you, Elohe, the God of my rock, as opposed to God is my rock.
So
And for those of you who don't know, Louis is quoting from Robert Alter, who is not religious, he's Jewish. He's in his 90s, I think, and he's a biblical scholar. He's a professor at the University of Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley. And he's, even though he's not religious, he does write from a perspective of unified authorship of the Torah. So we can find a lot of insights in what he says. If any of you have ever been to a lecture and you heard the well motif, like the use of the well in the Bible, you might have heard that before. That comes from Robert Alter. He's not given enough credit for that. But people don't want to quote him because he's not religious, and he does, of course, say some blasphemous things. But he's written a lot of books. He just came out with a translation of the entire Bible. He's the first person who single-handedly translated the entire Bible without a committee like the King James Bible, and he did the entire thing. So Louis has his commentary on the Book of Samuel that she brings in sometimes. Okay, anything else? Thank you. Okay, have a great week.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.
Bye.
Did you record it?
Yes. Oh, thank you for telling me to stop.